Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello, and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us in this beautiful, fastest, most important 2 hours of every week. And it is Saturday night. It is July the 24th of the year of our Lord, 2021. And this is your host, Usama Dakdak, from the state of Missouri. With us tonight, our producer and the co-host, the one and only one, Christy Johnson from Houston, Texas. And hello, Christy, and how are you?
Hey, Usama, I'm doing great. It's been a very exciting day today. We had a wonderful time visiting the zoo and also just hanging out with family. So it's been a really good day.
Good.
But it is very hot. Very hot.
Well, welcome to Texas. Actually, it was warm here in Missouri. It was, I believe, 1991. So obviously, again, it's more hotter down in the south. But in any way, shape, or form, well, glad you made it to us, to your family and the party and whatever good time you'll be doing there, celebrating the birthday party for your great grandson, I believe, and or daughter.
Great granddaughter.
Five. I remember when she was born.
Yes, I
remember
know.
When you were used to go there and take care, help her mama when she was just born. Man, oh man, time is flying. Yeah. A little bit later, we'll be joined by Sam Shamoun from somewhere in. I don't know who, Arizona. I believe he's in Arizona, but we'll find out maybe when he joins us, what city or
Do you think he's listening to the president? President speaking in Arizona tonight. We're competing with
which,
the president.
Which president?
The only real one, Trump.
Trump. I thought you were talking about the old Biden.
No, he wouldn't go to Arizona.
Good.
President
well, you
Trump
know what? We want
Arizona
very bad. We want Arizona very bad, and I believe the same thing will be in every other state which helped Biden to win. I don't know how old Biden won in any way, shape, or form. Here, Arizona, old Biden needs to kiss goodbye. But, I guarantee you, the next five, six states, where they do auditing?
They have to do a forensic audit in these other states.
Forensic audit, yeah.
Yeah.
Most likely.
And they're wanting to do it.
Every,
they're finding.
I guarantee you.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, Christy, Trump have won even California. The way it looks.
You know what?
Arizona,
I'm glad you
Georgia.
Said Trump won California because we're kind of the same opinion. A few people that have been there or familiar with it say they think Trump
was Reagan
California.
And after Reagan or Trump won, I believe. I mean, we'll be surprised if they would do this study for the exact votes and how things work. But anyway, well, we're happy to have Sam with us tonight. I just talked with him and I sent him our number, and I believe he's going to be calling anytime. So watch for him when you see him, bring him in. But in the meantime, you are the producer for the show. So so tell us, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I want to mention something that's really important. And you know, I always have Mike Lindell's TV channel, which you can get to if you're a member of Frank Speech. It's Lindell TV. You'll find programming on there every evening. And Mike Lindell is having a cyber symposium. It'll be the August the 10th, 11th, and 12th. So this will not be the last time I remind you. The mainstream media is refusing to put any information out about this. But let me tell you what's interesting. Mike Lindell is going to pay $5 million to to anyone that can prove that what he has on how this election was manipulated, all the cyber computer analysis that they've done, if any cyber expert comes and can prove that his stuff isn't genuine and real, then $5 million. So there's a lot of interest. He's got several hundred cyber experts from around the world that are going to be there, but you know what? The mainstream media doesn't want anybody to know. You will be able to watch this. You can't attend
when
it.
You don't want Chris.
You can't, let me finish.
Yeah.
You cannot attend this if you're a member of the public, but it will be live streaming on Frank Speech and that Lindell TV. So get set up to get Lindell TV on your computer so you can watch it live. It'll be the 10th, 11th, and 12th of August, Lindell TV. You can also get to it through frankspeech.com. You have to sign up with frankspeech.com because it's a secure site, but you don't have to pay anything. It's free. You're going to be able to watch it and see what these cyber experts have to say about our election.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, I love it where he put his money, where his where he stands for. So it's not just cheap talk. He actually will give this $5 million for anyone, and I don't think nobody will do that.
They're not going to be able to prove it.
Lose the money, that means they're all a bunch of hogwash.
Well, the whole thing is, no, he's inviting experts to come and try to prove that it's not correct information. He's not saying it's a bunch of hogwash, but he wants the experts to come out and say, this is genuine.
I don't think anybody's going to show up.
No, you don't know. They already have people reserving to come. There's people coming from Belgium, cybersecurity experts from all over the world. You know, it's not just the United States that's concerned about this election and what happened. So there are experts who are in Europe, in other parts of the world that are coming because they want to take a look at this documentation he has. Because you don't know, I mean, you don't know. You probably know, but there's so many people in other countries around the world are going, how in the world did you end up with a man named O'Biden as your president? How did that happen? Many of them don't believe
but
he
my,
won.
My point was, I don't believe anybody would disprove the information which Michael has. He's not going to lose $5 million in the end of the day, which means that is a great evidence. It is over for O'Biden. Legally, with all the smart, intelligent people who are expert on the subject, if nobody can prove that Mike Lindell is lying, that means he's telling the truth, which means Trump won the election, and O'Biden is a thief, criminal, and so is the rest of his party.
Well, what his evidence is, I believe, irrefutable, but only an expert can really look at it. So he's paid for all the rooms for these people to come from out of the country. He's paid for their rooms. He's covering the hotel. And also, he's already spent $25 million on this investigation and hiring the people to look into the cyber manipulation of the election. So he's already paid $25 million. This is another $5 million that he's putting on the line if someone can prove that the evidence is not correct and not true. So I'm looking forward to seeing it because the evidence he has shows that there was interference in the election to the point that it was foreign interference. If they can show that foreigners interfered in the election and changed the result of the voting through the machines, which is what this is all about, then that shows foreign interference, which means the election could be overturned. We know that they are doing these audits there's huge problems.
That is if the Supreme Court cut this case. No.
Actually,
I
don't know how they could not, because the Constitution does have some specifics about foreign interference in the election. So if there's nothing done about it, I have a feeling it would be there'll be people including. You see, who has to look at this is the state. Each state, the federal government cannot sit here and tell you the state, oh, you can't do this over again. They have the right to decertify their electors. That's why all these audits are so important, because the states can say, nope, we're decertifying the electors. We want to redo, or we want to recount, or we want to do the whole thing over again. And many of these states want to have this audit. But what Mike Lindell is doing is showing that the reason there were 37,000 intrusions into the machines in Arizona after the election was because they're trying to erase evidence of the votes that were switched. So that's a big deal. And I don't think the American people are going to sit still and not say to their state government, you have to decertify the electors, which means once they decertify them, that means whatever process they have to do to say, we're recalling our electors because Biden didn't win our state. The federal government can't.
Well, we have to wait and see, Christine. We have to wait and see.
I know. I know, but I want people to know the mainstream media is trashing Mike Lindell over and over again. They're not even mentioning the symposium he's doing because they're scared of what's going to be discovered. They know that they're going to look totally stupid when this
We have been looked stupid almost in everything. Think about the two impeachment of Mr. Trump. They were dumb and dumber. They were stupid and stupider. It's not a word, but I made it up. I like it.
Well, the problem is, Usama, that there's many Americans who are really disturbed that we could have some interference in our election at all. To realize how bad it is, it's causing Americans all over the country to be really not just unhappy, but angry, really angry. This is the United States. We can monitor an election in Afghanistan, but we can't make sure our election here is free from fraud. It's insane.
And you know what? My heart desire is to prove without any doubt that Biden is a thief and he stole the election, and let him stay. Let him stay. I mean, it doesn't bother me.
Well, it bothers me.
If we have the state, the House of Representatives with a great, great victory, 70-80 seats in 2022, that is the end of Biden.
But if they're cheating and you don't stop the cheating, they'll just cheat in 2022.
Keep on making. That's what I'm worried about.
I know, so you have to do something about it. You just can't say, oh, yeah, he cheated and leave him in office. Every executive order that he has written is damaging our country, everyone, including the wall, immigration, and everything else. That is all set to destroy our country. And it's got to be stopped. You know, who wants him to leave office for whatever reason and have Kamala Harris as our president? Give me a break.
My
I don't know which
is,
one is worse. She knows what she's doing, and she's horrible. Go ahead.
Yeah. My worry is after midterm, maybe he will set aside because of the health situation.
Yeah.
And then she'll take over the next 2 years. And guess what? That will not be even count as her first term. That means that lady can serve literally 10 years.
If this happens, we won't. I mean, I hate to say it. It, to me, she will do so much damage because, you know, Joe Biden may think that he knows what he's doing, but he's doing really stupid things. But I think he doesn't really have all his cognitive wheels working. But if Kamala Harris is worth, she thinks she knows what she's doing, but she is An idiot. I'm sorry. She's really stupid. Yes,
lady
I agree.
Lady is a dumb. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah, I know.
But we'll take it one day at a time. We'll see what the Lord's going to do.
Yes.
In the meantime, but Sister Christy,
people need to watch that audit.
Sam
yes. Is he on? I don't see him yet. I've been checking. Checking.
All right, Sam, if you come in, you're in, hit one. So Christy can see your number in the top so we can bring you in. All right. Hopefully you call anytime.
I'll be watching for him. I was just going to say there's a number of things going on, though, that you might have an interest in terms of what's happening with – I'm looking at some of the stories that are going on. We're seeing a buildup of the Iranian nuclear program, but I'm really proud of one thing that's in the news. I mean, I'm happy, not proud of it, but, you know, I've been trying to fight against the legalized abortion for a long time, and I just want to say Mississippi has formally asked the Supreme Court to uphold its ban on abortions after 15 weeks. And overturn Roe v. Wade. And I wanted to say that Dr. Rand Paul literally had petitions that were mailed, at least in the state of Mississippi. I received one to go to my congressman of my area and the senators of the state of Mississippi, also to the governor's office. And these petitions, all I had to do is sign and date them and mail them in, and lo and behold, praise God, Dr. Rand Paul, who did that on behalf of American citizens who are opposed to abortion in Mississippi, I think they got the hint, and they're taking this to the Supreme Court. And I'm so thankful. But that means we're blessed. We're cursed when we have abortion all over America. Abortion on demand, the murder and slaughter of innocents brings a curse on our nation. So this is one of the things maybe we can overturn. Praise God. We will be praying about that.
Absolutely. This is good for Mississippi. Mississippi has always been a conservative state concerning abortion.
Yes.
Was it?
And yeah. I will say it's interesting. Mississippi, of course, the Biden administration is complaining, saying Mississippi has the lowest vaccination rate in the country. And you know what? of COVID-19 vaccination. But you know what else? They have the highest childhood vaccination rate in the country. So that means for kids to be immunized against mumps and measles and rubella, against other communicable diseases for which there are vaccinations, our state has the highest rate for children to receive those vaccines. As far as the COVID vaccine, Mississippi has the lowest rate. So you think people in Mississippi are stupid? No, I think they're onto something, just like others in the country that are saying, no, these vaccines are not safe.
Yeah, by the way, I'll be coming to Louisiana and Mississippi to speak in next month, I believe.
In August?
August and September. And maybe also go to Texas in the end of August, Lord is willing.
Maybe I can get you set up with a church a couple churches I know, right?
Well,
you got anything scheduled in my area?
I'll get with Vicki. So we're looking for two more, I hope. All right.
Sounds good.
Mississippi is good for Yusrama Duck Duck. In the meantime, what else do you talk about?
Well, let me just ask for your input on this issue here with the China saying they're going to support the Taliban. What in the world is going on? Why don't you talk about that?
Well, I heard it like you have shared right now that they are going to be standing with the Muslim or Taliban and they're going to be in Afghanistan in general. I believe they're going to be there since we already lived there. You know what's amazing about China? China persecuting the Muslims, and it's the only country in the world where Muslims are being persecuted. Obviously,
yeah.
As we have said many times in the last year, all the media in America talk about the Muslim persecution in China. And I never heard any of this media talk about the Christian persecution in China for the last, well, 1,000 years maybe. Anyway, it is amazing how the media quick to jump on China because they're persecuting the Muslims, but none of them will say a word about the persecution of the Christian. But I think they're doing this to appease the Muslim, that they're going to support the Taliban and they're going to have some influence on Afghanistan. And I don't know what to tell you. I was talking to some friends last week about the role of America in Afghanistan and how some of the plans used for drugs there was a great business and it was growing beyond our imagination since America was there. And I wonder how much of our I don't know who is involved in the drug business in Afghanistan, if it was the Taliban or if it was with Al-Qaeda, because I believe both of them were growing some of these plants for drugs. Do you know anything about it, Christy, or I'm not sure how much this is true, but I believe that's one of the reasons why we stayed in there in over 20 years, our military, is for drugs deal businesses. What do you think of that?
Well, you're going out somewhere that I don't have any evidence of that or any, you know, knowledge from anyone I know personally or who would have that information. So I'll just have to say I'll look into it. I don't really know. So if you've got some information,
I can check into it. Yeah, you've got some subjects to get busy between here and next Sunday, next Saturday, Lord's willing. Because, I mean, these people I was talking to, they're literally top nutshell people. I mean, they're smart. They know what they're talking about. But obviously, I don't have.
Well, get them on here. Because,
well,
maybe they'll come on and talk about it.
Well, we'll see. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll do that. In the meantime, go ahead.
I heard something that was interesting about the where they're talking about the variant, this new variant of the COVID, that the COVID virus. Okay, they're saying there's this new variant, but the thing is, this is the strange thing. One of the doctors that I watch on the conservative channels, I watch, you know, and I put them up in the slideshow every time, OAN, Real America's Voice, these doctors said, show me a test for the variant. There's no test for the variant. Remember how long it took to get a test for COVID-19? How in the world can they say they have a test now for a variant? And the other thing they said is when something mutates, it always mutates to be less deadly, not more deadly. Now, this would go against everything we know about how a virus operates. If it mutated, it would be less deadly, but they keep talking about how many cases are coming up, and then they're talking about the death. I'm sorry, I'm going to give you a conspiracy theory of mine. If people are dying, how do we know, because they're saying it's people that have had the vaccination, how do we know they're not dying from the vaccination and they're just telling us that these people died from COVID variant? I mean, we don't know. They lie so much.
Sure. I don't trust the liberals, the media about the corona info in any way, shape, or form, because I know for sure, that's a fact, that all those who died before the vaccination, all of them died with coronavirus. There was nobody died with a heart attack. Nobody died with stroke. Nobody died with cancer. Nobody died with AIDS. Everybody died. Even those who died in a car accident, those who drowned, those who were in a fire, all of them died with coronavirus for some reason. Now, nobody of those who die with corona, for those who are vaccinated, not one of them died by coronavirus. They died by something else. So obviously, something is cooking, and I don't know. We have to wait and see for how long they're going to lie, for how long they're going to hide, for how long they're going to pretend that there's no problem with the vaccination. But I know for sure that some of those who have taken the vaccine are already sick with coronavirus. So does the vaccination work all the time?
Well, here's the problem. Dr. Fauci keeps having to change his story constantly. First, they've made a joke. They go, who are we supposed to listen to? Which one of these liars do we listen to? Joe Biden, who says, once you get the vaccine, you're protected. You're protected. Get vaccinated, as he says. And then here comes Dr. Fauci saying, well, the vaccine doesn't always protect you. So if you got vaccinated, you still need to wear a mask because you could still get coronavirus. And now they're telling us, like these stupid Democrats who left Texas and went to D.C., what, a third of them? I don't know how many went, but a number of them, 8, 10, came down with coronavirus, and they were all vaccinated. So, see, I think that's why they have to call it, it's a D, it's a variant. It's a different one. No, I don't think, yeah. I don't know what to make of it, but the truth is, I don't think there's a thing that man can create or that nature can create that God doesn't know how to deal with. And I don't want to knock anybody for getting vaccinated. I have several of my own friends who've been vaccinated, various medical problems that they have. Maybe the best thing for them is to have the vaccination. I can't make that decision. But the truth is, if you're a healthy person and you're not older and you don't have all these comorbidities, your chance of survival is over 98%, over 99%. So you may be sick. Yeah. But shoot, look how sick people are getting with the vaccine. Many of them are being hospitalized with heart problems, lung problems. What we're saying right now is enough to get us banned from the internet. But
okay.
I wanted
to. That works very good. There's no problem. Everybody should take the vaccine. Okay, we got the other side of the story. So you'll be okay.
Yeah. But you know what?
The other
thing I want to say, this is so funny. I realized that I was canceled before canceling was popular. Before canceling was cool, I got canceled, and I was thinking about this. Do you remember when I first came to Texas? My granddaughter is 5 now. Remember I told you? You were just talking about it. I came when she was a little baby. I was canceled when I first got here to Texas. Remember how they shut down my website? I was one of the first people canceled. I think someone should talk to me and interview me about this. I got canceled before canceling was cool. I know you may not understand that. It's a joke in America, but I got canceled before anybody heard of it.
But Christy, how many of my YouTube video 15 years ago, they'd be taking them out and they say, taken down by the owners. And I would never take a video of mine. I would never do that.
I know, but it would always say it taken down by the owner. Yeah. Now, I have someone here, but it's not the phone number you gave me.
That's okay. Let's call it. Maybe it's Sam coming by the phone.
Well, he didn't push
one.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll check real quick, but let me go to the other room and I'll check in then, because I got a couple other callers in here. You talk for a minute, Isamba, while I do that.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Well,
they just hung up, so the one I thought was maybe Sam
maybe just hung up.
All right, let me check this. I have another caller. Let me check it. It's not the number either. So.
No problem. As you guys know, Brother Sam's supposed to be with me here in Missouri. But there's some circumstances happened with him. actually have to change his flight. He will be flying to me on Tuesday, Lord's willing, and I hope he will stay with me longer time. I don't know when he's planning to leave, but I hope 10 days or 2 weeks. We'll see what Lord's going to do. And next Saturday, Lord's willing, he will be sitting next to me using my phone to do our show from Missouri. So tonight, Brother Sam is not with me, but he is in Arizona. I believe he's in Arizona. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's somewhere else. When he comes on the show here.
I'm sorry. That was not that was Sam. Someone listening to the show. That's okay.
No,
I'm glad they're listening, but it wasn't our friend yet.
Well, we'll see. Anyway, as I don't know if you heard me, because I said Brother Sam's supposed to be with me, but he's not. He's going to be with me Tuesday, Lord's willing.
Well, Tuesday we don't do a show. We don't do a show on Tuesday.
What?
Our show is on Saturday. We don't do a show on Tuesday.
No, he is coming on Tuesday, and we're going to do it.
I know.
The
well,
next Saturday show will be live here. As a matter of fact, he's going to be speaking at church the following Sunday. Not tomorrow, next Sunday. He will be speaking in one of the churches here, which I attend a lot when I'm not speaking. It's like my home church in Missouri. Anyway.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I had several articles that I pulled because we had someone who had contacted us last week asking some questions about Jehovah Witnesses. So maybe I have some teasers that we could put out there because our friend Sam can really enlighten us a lot about Jehovah's Witnesses. Are you wanting to... have me share a little bit from those stories, or would you prefer
What do you have in mind? It's an open free night for anyone to talk about anything until Sam comes in. Lord's willing, he will share whatever the Lord put in his heart.
Well, one of the things that I discovered about the Jehovah's Witnesses, which I was rather surprised because I had not realized certain things that we've talked about before, a number of different cults, and cults tend to have the same kind of just characteristics that you see. In a lot of them, we see children being abused in various ways, but sexual assault against children seems to be something that happened. There's recorded cases in Scientology, Mormonism. Mormonism is famous because of child marriages to polygamists. There's just so many things, and they seem to have in common. We know this happens with Islam as well. But I had no specific stories about this happening in Jehovah's Witness, but this is the stories that are coming out now that there are a number of people in the Jehovah's Witness movement who have actually won lawsuits against the Jehovah's Witnesses for failing to protect children from sexual abuse by members of the Jehovah's Witness group. And one of them won $35 million in an award because the congregation ignored her pleas for help. Now, you know, they make a big deal about this happening within the Catholic Church, but we need to be aware that this could happen in other instances, and it happens
a
lot.
Here is the truth, Christy. If the people are in a cult, Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism, or Islam, it doesn't matter which one, or any other one, they already belong to the devil.
That's right.
There's not Jehovah's Witness will make it to heaven. There's not one Muslim or Mormon will ever make it to heaven. They belong to the devil. They look nice. They look clean. They look neat. I mean, as a matter of fact, if you're not smart enough and you join a Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall, or you go to Mormon Temple and you attend the service, you're going to hear beautiful singing. I mean, beautiful music. I mean, beautiful sermon. I mean, you feel like you're sitting in a Baptist church. Southern Baptist, my own denomination. You will not see difference. You will not feel difference. Why? Because they are counterfeit. They're a perfect counterfeit. Not far
not
away.
Perfect
counterfeit. And because they belong to the devil already, I can expect anything go wrong there. I can expect to have child abuse, of course. Why not?
Yes, you know, I think the sad thing is people don't understand necessarily how the devil desires to destroy the lives of children through abuse, often sexual abuse, and it seems like this crops up a lot. And I'm not just the Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, Islam, but other cults that have been like smaller groups. Just maybe one that started with a false prophet, and this false prophet never expanded his membership worldwide, but maybe over the course of a few hundred people. And this has happened repeatedly. If you study cults, this is a common thing. So there was another case, that case that I just told you about, this case of a boy who also received $13.5 million judgment against Jehovah's Witness Church because he was molested by a church leader, and I'm assuming that was not a woman in the Jehovah's Witness Church. It probably was not a woman, but a man, and he's an adult now, but he went through this as a child, and they awarded him $13.5 million. What I'm saying here is, could this happen in any place? Yes, it could. But the problem is the leaders in these cases ignored the problem when children reported it. In fact, one of them explained that they used the Bible to make the victim feel like it was their fault. In other words, you're making the allegation that the children were acting inappropriately. So that's what caused it. And this is just really sad because it's like blaming the child.
They want to blame the children, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and they use the Bible to do it. So this is like the worst kind of thing. And so this woman who was the victim explained how she was made to feel guilty that it was her fault that this happened. This is just really the one thing the devil loves to do is try to destroy the lives of children. So one of the other things, and of course we can ask more questions about the Jehovah's Witness and what they believe from Sam when he joins us. But here's an article based on one of the magazines. The Jehovah's Witnesses used to go around and distribute magazines. Many of us have received them. I've had them brought to my door or left at my door or even opened the door and had one of them hand me these magazines called the Watchtower, and here we are. These are in the slideshow, so that's why I want to comment on them because they're in the slideshow tonight. These articles that I told you about, these different the children who had been molested, and here we have a picture of the Watchtower, and this article was written in 2016. But the picture of the Watchtower is there from May 15, 1984. I can't tell if it's 84 or 64. But it's a long time ago. And the title of the article on the front cover is 1914, The Generation That Will Not Pass Away. And so what was said in this article is that the people pictured on the front of this cover, they're older people in the picture, that they will not die until you know, the kingdom of God comes, and it's all over for us here on the earth. So the one who wrote this was the grandson of one of the people in the article. And in 2008, the last one of these people pictured passed away. So
the last one. So not,
the last one. And
not,
he wrote.
Was died, but they all
wrote,
died.
Yeah. He wrote and he said, "I agree with the author of Hebrews. Jesus Christ is God." I love that because Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe Jesus Christ is God. Do you see the magazine cover on the right? Oops, wrong again. My grandfather died. So obviously he is the surviving grandson of the last one of these folks that passed away. So I thought that was a very good article too.
Is it not true? I need to check with some of that, but you maybe know it. The Jehovah's Witness predicted the end of time many times, and not one of them was accurate.
Yes. In fact, on this article, it also has a second picture of it and numbers the people that were there. And it lists the last one who passed away is 2008. So we see that these people all passed away, but the end of the world was supposed to come before that happened. And basically, keeping that in mind, they no longer put this magazine out to the public. They said, because if you have these old copies, which you might want to check, folks, they said there's been many false prophecies coming from the Jehovah's Witness. And then this is a sign of a false prophet when what they say doesn't happen. And they have predicted many times. Different leaders have come up with prophecies that have been false. One more thing about the Jehovah's Witness, again, keeping this in mind when we do have Sam, you may want to have some questions for him about this, but... this is a article in the Detroit Press published in March of 2018. And this is a young woman. Actually, she's probably not as young as she was in here, but she's from Mississippi. So one of the people lives very close to my where I live. She lives here on the Gulf Coast. And she is holding pictures of herself and her little sister who's 4, and then she had an older sister who was 21. The one that was 21 committed suicide. And she talks about how in the Jehovah's Witnesses, people become suicidal because they become so depressed. And, you know, when you have a relationship that's supposed to be with God, like the one we have with Jesus Christ when we get saved and accept him as our Savior, this is like the last thing you would feel is that you want to end your life. But this young woman at 21 just could not handle anymore. She became very depressed and she killed herself. Now, this woman who lives here in southern Mississippi, or here, I'm not in Mississippi today, but she lives in Gulf Coast of Mississippi. She said that there she is with her little sister. She was 8 years old, and now that's when her older sister committed suicide, and she found her. Later on, I guess, apparently, this girl, 8 years old, found her sister dead on the floor. But years later, she got excommunicated because she wanted to divorce her husband, who was very abusive. She left the Jehovah's Witnesses, and guess what? Her family wants nothing to do with her. And she's talking about how they shun people. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, what?
Is this the same reaction of Mormon if somebody leaves the Mormon church?
It's worse. You can be excommunicated. I mean, I'm not excommunicated, even though I left the church myself long ago. They did not want to excommunicate me because my family ties go back to one of their founding people, Orson Pratt. And so they don't, I mean, they'll talk to me, but they always want to try to get me back in the church. But the thing with the Jehovah's Witnesses is, and it's the same thing with Scientology. If you leave, they tell your family, don't speak to them, have nothing to do with them. You pretend they're dead. And they believe that's going to drive people who've left the church to come back because they're going to be so lonely. They're going to be so cut off. They have their, none of their family will even talk to them. Mm-hmm. So this woman says, shunning is supposed to make us miss them so much we'll come back, but it didn't work. Well, yeah, why would you go back to something that is so completely devoid of the love of Jesus Christ and the help when you're in a problem, in an abusive relationship, or when you're struggling with your faith and you're depressed? You're not supposed to disown people. This is not how you are as a Christian. You know, as a Christian, we are to persuade people, love them. If they are doing horrendous sin, that is something else. You don't let them bring sin into the church and promote, like, okay, let's all get drunk tonight at the church or something. I mean, I've never known anyone that would do that. But we're talking about you still pray for people, you still talk to them, you still try to persuade them to come back to the Lord. I mean, you saw me, isn't that what the scriptures say? Go to a brother if you have something against them. And if they don't receive your witness, then take some other people and talk to them, not shun them and quit talking to them. So anyway, in a Michigan case, a distraught mother shot and killed her husband, her two grown children, and herself in their home, shocking the small, quiet Oakland County community. This was, again, because the woman was being shunned by the Jehovah's Witnesses, and she ended up killing not only herself but her whole family. I mean, that is not normal for a woman to do that, but apparently that is what happened. The devil can get after you when you don't have the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ.
But you know what, Christy, when you talk to Jehovah's Witness people, I have a great experience of knowing a lady who was a Jehovah's Witness, and I know her for a year or so, maybe 2 years, because my wife used to work next door to her, and then she worked for her a little bit, and then we bought her business. And that lady is so sincere about her her belief in Jesus. And I remember one time, and I was going to share a story. I was going to share something happened. So I'm still in Vic and her. You know, guys, I just met with Brother John, and the moment I mentioned the old Brother John, you see, put her head on her ears, her fingers in her ears, and she said, I don't want to hear it. I said, what? She said, I don't want to hear it. I said, what do you want to hear? Any gossiping? I said, I'm not going to gossip anything. I'm going to feel something happen. No, I don't want to hear it. And she was so stubborn, so mean, she don't want to hear it because she think I'm going to gossip about Brother John. Which I was going to tell something. There's nothing in it whatsoever. I mean, literally, what I was, and she insists not to hear me, as if she, as Jehovah's Witness, thou holy lady, and I am that wicked, evil Baptist believer. That is how much they are pretender to be the perfect people who will not even hear a story about somebody unless he is standing there. Otherwise, it's gossip.
Well, you know, you saw that makes it very hard for us to ask for prayer for people. It makes it very hard for us to share when someone has a need. You know, maybe someone has a financial need. Maybe they have a need for some help. What we're not supposed to be able to say, can we get together and help this person who is having a trouble paying the bill or getting groceries for them? Okay, if you want to believe that's gossip, then, you know, it's nice. You don't have to ever do anything to help anybody. I mean, I hear all day long about the things people need. I don't consider that gossip.
You need. you ask, you receive not because you ask not. And if you don't ask, if you ask, then you're gossiping. It is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But I know that.
Go ahead.
The Mormons do not drink Coca-Cola or coffee, but in the same time, they're selling it to make profit. So I do not know.
Well, one of the things about some of these groups is they're trying to make themselves righteous. Here's the thing. Jesus said there's not one righteous. No, not one. But we are to put on his righteousness because he died to redeem us from sin, to cause us to be cleansed by his blood means we put the righteousness of Christ on. It comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't go around trying to save ourselves. We can't. We try to be obedient to the Word of God and be obedient to listen to his Spirit's guidance and to follow the teaching in the Bible. But if I tell you, I had this experience with a Christian who I don't know their soul. I don't know if they're saved or not saved. But when we get into teaching people that they are righteous because of their own goodness, we get in trouble. And this individual sat there and told me, you would know where this happened. It was at the Christian radio station. They came in to visit and said, I'm so excited. I have not sinned all week. And I go, wait a minute. You didn't sin all week. I just know why would someone come in and tell you that? Because even a thought is sin. But guess what? You came in to tell me you're not a sinner. That's a sin. It was crazy, but they're in their own mind. You know, it's like, oh, I'm so proud of myself today because I haven't sinned all week. And I'm thinking, you don't understand the gospel. We have to pray for God to save us from sin every day because our thoughts can be sin. And but if you have a day that you're not aware that you sin, that wasn't your effort. Don't be proud of yourself. If there's a day you think you did not sin, that is by the grace of God. It isn't because of you.
I don't want to say that. Yeah, you're talking about these cults, Jehovah's Witness and Mormon, but believe it or not, I know some believers who are, you know, Baptists or whatever denominations they go to, evangelical churches, who are trying to put grace aside and God's, put grace aside because he thinks that they won't go back to the law. And they're trying to fulfill the law and live by the law. And some of them are very close friends of mine, and they would tell you. They would tell you. The reason we have to keep the Sabbath, because if you break one of the laws, you break all of them. You fall in all of them. So I have to keep the Sabbath, otherwise I'll be sinning. I said, wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that you live by the law and you kept all the Ten Commandments except the Sabbath, so you want to keep the Sabbath? Is this what it is? You live by your own righteousness now?
Yeah,
well,
this is a problem.
As the Bible said, if you don't keep all of them, if you fall in one, you fall in all of them. It is to let us realize the reality that we are not perfect. We cannot be saved by the law, and thank God for his grace. It is through the cross we're forgiven, not because we keep the Ten Commandments, so we have to keep the Sabbath. So what? We keep the Sabbath. That's the least thing to do. I mean, I don't have any problem to keep 2 days every week. 3 days a week. You can put 3 days aside where I do nothing but maybe read my Bible and pray. I will fast these days. I will. That is the easy thing to do. Even while you're doing these things, you still can be sinning in every other sin. The Sabbath is not the biggest problem. Keeping the Sabbath is prideful. They're doing it in a way to say, I am obeying the law. I'm living by the law. And I am perfect in the law. I'm sorry, you're not. You're not.
Yeah.
Because for the scripture is very clear in the letter of John. If we say that we did not sin, we are liars. And we are calling God a liar. And the truth is not in us. So just to say I have not break any of the Ten Commandments and I'm keeping my Sabbath, that alone is a lie, and the lie is a sin.
You know, Usama, it's a very hard concept for some people when they're not a believer and they don't know Christ. It's a hard concept because even in the Bible, this issue was addressed where they said, well, wait a minute, don't we have to keep the law? And Jesus was, came to pay the price of sin. The Jewish people did not even believe they could keep the law. They had to offer sacrifice for sin. I mean, am I crazy? Or did they have problems keeping the law? So they knew there was to be a sacrifice for forgiveness and days of praying, repentance, days of repentance. This is Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. So they knew there had to be a perfect animal sacrificed for the sake of their sin. So that is why Jesus, when he came, was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So there was an understanding among the Jewish people, which Jesus came to be the final sacrifice for all eternity, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God who was without sin, but yet paid the price once and for all. So we go to Jesus when we sin. We ask for forgiveness from the Lord because Christ died for us, not because now Jesus died, so we get a second chance to try to be perfect on our own. You can't be perfect on your own. You can be conformed to the image of Christ, but that's a process of working, this working of the Holy Spirit in you to help you overcome your own human flesh, your own human nature. But, we're still here. We're still imperfect. That's why we had to have that eternity that we waited, and they waited, and they knew there would be a sacrifice come for sin that was perfect for all eternity. Sure. And that was Jesus.
You know, this is what you're saying and what we're sharing so far, Christy. If you go to with me to First John, the first letter of John, chapter 1.
Okay.
I'd like to read these few verses. Hopefully, Sam will join us. I'm afraid maybe Sam misunderstood the time because we're almost an hour. He may be thinking that we're going to start in at 10 o'clock Central instead of 9 o'clock Central. But we'll see, unless something really happened and we have some situation. But normally, Sam will not be late. But let's read a few verses here.
All right.
First John chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
Let's read the beginning from verse 6.
Okay. All right. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Now let's go to the next chapter, if you don't mind, chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful as well, if you don't mind.
My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And, I'm sorry, excuse me. He saith, he that saith, I know him and keep not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. You want me to go on?
That's fine. No, that's good for Pop Christie. Don't see, he's talking about keeping his commandments. But at the same time, he's talking about we cannot say we did not sin. But the subject of a group of people I'm talking about who are believers, evangelical or Baptist, whatever you want to call them, who would like to keep the Sabbath, who want to go back to the law, who want to keep the law, they literally believe, Chris, I'm not kidding you, they literally believe that group that they do not sin. I have a friend of mine who will tell me in my face that I am sinning because I don't keep the Sabbath. And I said, well, I'm glad you understand that. That's your, of course, your thinking and your belief. And I'm not going to, hold it against you in any shape or way or form. But at the same time, he said, that's why he is much better Christian than me, because he does not sin. He does not break the laws. He keeps the commandments. And he always uses the word commandment. But if you read the text here, I mean, he's writing to his children, so these are Christian believers, mm-hmm. that they will not sin. But if they sin, there is the intercession, which was the Father, our Lord and our Savior Christ. He's not what the word kafara in English. What is the word in verse 2, Christy?
Okay, hold on. Let me scroll to 2. Okay, the propitiation for our sins.
Propitiation, that's a big word. I don't even know how to say it. It's not just that, for not just for us, but for the whole world. But then he said, keep the commandment. Well, keep the commandment does not mean you're perfect. So the idea of these people that they are perfect because they keep the Sabbath, I'm sorry. That's not what Scripture teaches. None is perfect. Not even one. The only perfect, his name is the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to make us perfect in our own strength, by our own power, by our own way of life. We are naturally born in sin. We are not perfect. The only one who is perfect is Christ. So the idea of keeping the Sabbath make you perfect, I'm sorry. You can keep every Sabbath all your life. You're not perfect. You still have sin, and you needed the Savior.
Yes. You know, what's interesting is that there's also this concept about the Sabbath, and this is rest and devoting time, you know, for taking apart from the world and taking apart to contemplate the Lord in some way, not to be working, to prepare for the Sabbath and do all those things. I mean, I'm sure it isn't going to harm someone, but the thing about the Sabbath was the focus on the Lord and time to be resting in him. As Christians, we literally are supposed to do that every day, are we not? Taking time to pray, to seek him, to focus on him, to put aside the other things that distract us in the world. Like in verse 6:15, okay?
Yeah.
It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Okay? This is part of it. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not the of the Father, but of the world. So it's an interesting thing to realize that the pride of life, this is a problem people have, you know. I'm out here, I'm working for my job, I'm getting these things, I'm taking care of my family, oh, I'm doing such a good job, I'm keeping the Sabbath, you know. I mean, this all becomes about how I am looking at myself. But the Sabbath was about putting things aside and looking toward the Lord. And in that sense, we really should do that every day as Christians, because before Christ came, the Holy Spirit was not given. It wasn't like you could just have the presence of the Lord by the power of His Spirit and reading His Word and the Spirit of God leading you into all truth. They didn't have that. So they had to stop, to take that time and contemplate. And now we are part of that relationship with the Lord and that rest in the Lord. And it should be going on every day, you know. I'm sorry, maybe I'm seeing it wrong, but I do feel that we spend that time focused on God every day, or we should. Am I crazy? Hello?
Yes, you're absolutely right, Christy.
Yes. Anyway, I haven't looked in the studio. I need to see if we have Sam. I don't see him, so I'm not clear on what's going on. If you get a text or something.
That's okay. You know what, Christy? If you don't mind, can you get your Quran out, and I will move on with our study about Abraham a little bit longer. Hopefully we can cover
some of the material. We'll do this, but
if Brother Sam comes in, that's fine.
All right. I'll do my best to watch for both. But keep in mind that when I'm looking at the Quran here, I don't know where we left off because I don't have my notes. I didn't grab them to bring with me.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
I
think we were 48
where
what we did.
I'm sorry, what?
48. I thought we did 48, but I could be crazy.
Chapter 48?
I don't know what we did, but in my head I'm going, did I write down 48? I could be wrong.
We were at 43, not 48.
Okay. Well, my three looked like an 8. Oh, okay.
Hey,
that's my
excuse
for today.
Let's look at 48 in case I'm wrong. Let me look
chapter
at 48.
All right.
Actually, there's nothing on 48.
Okay,
it's
then. 43. Okay, and we finished that up, I think, did we? Where did we go?
No,
at?
We stopped
we
at 43. I believe it's verse 26. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Boy, you're so smart.
Chapter 43
you
and verse 26.
You are so smart.
I was really hoping to have Sam with us tonight, but we'll be protecting him, that he'll be okay.
Yes, Lord, please, whatever his situation, we know many things can happen these days when you're traveling or working or serving the Lord, and so maybe he's leading someone to come to know Christ. That would be awesome.
Amen. That'd be worth it. I'd rather have him share the truth with the lost person leading to Christ than to come and share with us, unless what he shows us is powerful for somebody to
Christ
in our group here. But anyway.
Yes.
So Quran chapter 43, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you once again, this is a study which we started a few weeks ago, and we're almost on page 28 of 33. So we're getting really close in, perhaps within the next couple of Saturdays. Of course, next Saturday we're going to have Sam with us, Lord willing. We're going to be finishing the study about Abraham. And the whole idea of our study is Muslims claim that the Quran is a revelation from God. Why is it a revelation from God? Because the Quran talk about, and then they name for us, Noah, Adam, Moses, Jesus, Abraham, and every other name there. So we took this study into depth, not really depth, we'll just go through some of the verses of the Quran to learn about what did Allah say in the Quran concerning Abraham, and how much of it is true, how much of it fit with the teaching of the Bible, and how much of it contradicts even the teaching of the Quran. So the Quran contradicts the Quran. That is a big boo-boo all over the Quran, not just in Abraham's story, but in every story. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. And the best thing you do is to understand the Quran, understand Islam, is to compare the Quran to the Quran on the same subject. All right?
Yes.
So, 43, beginning from verse 26, Christy.
And when Abraham, like I told you, I have allergies really bad. And when Abraham said to his father and his people, surely I am innocent from what you serve. All right, that's 26. Go ahead.
Well, it's very simple. Once again, Abraham is speaking to his father. Abraham is speaking to his people, and he's saying different words. That's
yep.
not what he said before. But we'll say maybe, well, he was talking to them many times. That's fine. That's fine. Abraham's father was not, as we can understand it, that he is the opposite side of Abraham. From the Genesis account, Abraham's father, Abraham's brother, Abraham's son-in-law, nephew, they're all traveling together, leaving Iraq to go to the land of Canaan, as Abraham believed in God and it was considered for him righteousness. Now, his father did not hear the preaching, which we talk about all the time in the Quran. Abraham was not, again, sent to his people as Muhammad pretending to be, or as you understand from the reading of the Quran, as if Allah sent Abraham as a prophet to his family, as Allah sent Abraham as a prophet to his people. No. Abraham was called out of the country of Iraq to the land of Canaan, not sent to the country of Iraq or to his people or to his father or to anybody. He left them there worshiping their God. He never told them, stop worshiping their God. He never break any of their gods. He never make fun of their God. He never worshiped the sun and the moon and the star as we have seen in the Quran. None of this is true. It's a made-up story by Muhammad to confuse the daylight out of every Muslim, not just scholars, everybody else. Okay? So go ahead, verse 27.
Except who created me, so surely he will guide me.
Okay. Notice here. He is innocent from what you worship, from what you serve, the false God. But he is looking for Allah, who will guide him. That means he's not guided. Christy, if you think Abraham was sent to his people as a prophet, he must be in a guided way. He must be in the true way. He must be in a true belief. We don't believe that Paul was sent as a prophet and he was ministering to as a messenger from God, or Apostle Paul. And for 20, 30 years, he was doing the ministry, and he himself did not believe in Jesus. It doesn't make any sense. None of the disciples did not believe in Jesus when they were doing the ministry of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. They all believe it. They all preach it. They all die for it, except obviously the beloved John, who was sent to Malta as the island of Malta as a prison. So here he said, "So surely he will guide me." Was he guided or not? How can he a preacher or a prophet or a messenger when he's not guided yet? Verse 28.
And he made it an enduring word in his descendants. Perhaps they may return.
They may return? Perhaps?
Perhaps.
You mean Allah does not know if they're going to return or not? And
so
Allah is speaking here. You notice it. 28. وَجَعَلَهَا. He is the third person about God, the Allah of Muhammad. Allah does not know if the descendant of Abraham will believe or not. Perhaps. Hopefully. Maybe yes, maybe no, but Allah does not know. I'm sorry. That does not make any sense.
That's a good way to be right, Maybe.
Well, it's the 50% chance it's going to rain tomorrow, Christy. You cannot lose with that.
That's right.
You could not lose it. 50% is always a good number. Because if it rained, I told you 50%. If it did not rain, well, I told you it is 50%. It doesn't matter. Whatever happened, I'm right. Keep going.
That's right. Yet I gave those and their fathers enjoyment until the truth and a plain message came to them. Until the truth and a plain message came to them.
Who is this? What is this truth? What is a messenger, Kingdom? What Allah is talking about in verse 29?
That's
Muhammad himself, Christy. We moved from Abraham to Muhammad. Clear messenger.
Oh, that's right.
The truth, Muhammad himself. Go ahead. Keep reading the next two verses. 30 and 30.
And when the truth, And when the truth came to them, they said, this is sorcery, and surely we are infidels in it.
Go ahead, keep reading 31.
And they said, were it not that this Quran had been sent down on some great man of the two cities.
Okay, so somehow, miraculously, we moved from Abraham to his descendants, which we don't know if they're going to be good or bad. Perhaps they will return, you know. But then we moved to Muhammad. We moved to the Quran. And the people did not believe in Muhammad because he was nothing. If the Quran was sent on somebody from an important city, then maybe it would be true. Wait a minute. I saw the miracles in the Quran, not in Muhammad. What difference does it make who the Quran was sent to? If the Quran was sent to Christy Johnson, you summon back to Muhammad ibn Abdullah. What difference does it make? The miracle is in the Quran or the miracle on the one who received it?
Well, very hard to say here, Mama. I have no idea. I don't know what it's talking about. Okay. Are they then the distributors of your Lord's mercy? We who distribute their livelihood among them in the world's life, and we raise some of them above others in decree, so that some of them may take the others subservient. And better is the mercy of your Lord than what they gather.
Notice here how Muhammad is writing his Quran. Allah is speaking without in. It's very ambiguous. You do not know who he's talking about. You do not know what he's talking about. You don't know where and why and how this verse is written. Some of them, they come above some others, and they do this, and the mercy of Allah. And it is a big word verse. I can make up any interpretation of this verse, and I can make anything else I want.
Very good.
And the rest of the verses, you know what, Christy? It have nothing to do with Abraham. It's about Muhammad. It's about blah, 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 blah. And there's no point. Let's move on to Quran chapter 51. Muhammad repeating the story of Abraham. This is nothing new in the Quran. It is the same story over and over and over again for without any point. There's no point.
51, did you say?
51, beginning from verse 24.
One second.
We already read the story three times or four times in the Quran, and Muhammad repeated with a little bit different wording here and there, and God help us.
Has the saying of the honored guest of Abraham come to you?
No. How many guests did he have there?
I don't know. Honored guest.
I mean, it
looks like one.
What?
Well, it should be singular.
It is singular. It's one.
Mm-hmm.
But notice in the following verse, 25.
When they entered, they to him, so they said, peace.
Okay. Were they one guest or bunch of them?
Yeah, that's a big deal in Arabic, isn't it? Because
Muslims mock me when I pronounce a word in the Quran not exactly as they wish for me to pronounce. I mean, literally, mm-hmm. they stand up for every mistake I would say. But at the same time, they swallow a camel. That is a camel. If when you read verse 24, you may assume and you may guess it's just one guy. One visitor went to see Uncle Abraham or Grandpa Abraham.
Yes.
Because it's a dive. Dive means a visitor. But at the same time, he describes him to be generous in plural, mukarramin. Read the verse again, Chris. 24, read it again.
Has the saying of the honored guest of Abraham come to you?
Honored guest.
What?
The word dive is singular. The word mukarramin is plural. It's supposed to be, attack a hadith, do you, Ibrahim al-Mukarramin, to make it plural, not plural singular, or single plural. It is no bad grammar. And then, in the following verse 25, when they enter on him, the plural, they said, he said, go ahead.
He said, peace, unknown people.
Why are you talking to them like that? You know, it's like right now in America with the sick people of the gay and lesbian and blah, blah, blah. They want to make pronoun for a hello person when you meet somebody because you don't know. He looks like a guy, but he may think he's a girl. Or she is a lady, and she may think she's a man. So you don't say hello, ma'am, and hello, sir. That's how Abraham is talking to them.
Wow.
But anyway, so they are, he does not know them. Hello, people. First of all, none of the previous stories were read in the Quran. Forget about the Bible, Christian. Put the Bible aside, okay? When we read the story before, not once Abraham said that. Show me one else where Abraham said, hello, peace to you, unknown people. Never. We never have it before.
This
so
is
now
the
Muhammad
first
changed
time,
the word.
Yeah.
No, the verse 26.
Yeah. So when he went to his family, so he brought a fatted calf.
Really? He went to his family? Who's his family? You mean his wife? He does not have a family. Keep going.
So he placed it near them. He said, will you not eat?
What a strange sentence. What a strange sentence, because in the Bible, he cooked it. He said, will you eat? They said, sure, we'll eat. He got the food. He made the bread. He got the meat. He put it from them, and they ate. In the Quran, they don't eat. So why did he fix the food for people that are not going to eat? You come to my house, Christy. I do not know if you eat dinner or you're hungry. I say, Christy, would you like to eat a bite of food? Oh, you sound, I would like to eat. Yeah, make me a stand or get me a dish, okay? Now, you sit in my house and I go kill a goat or kill a cow here and I fix it to you without even asking if you're hungry or not. And then I almost say, would you like to eat? No. Read 27 again.
So he placed it near them. He said, will you not eat?
What a crazy guy talk here. Is this how Abraham will talk? If Abraham is a normal man, will he fix a big fat and then ask the question, will you not eat? So what happened?
I don't think so. Then he said, so he began to be afraid of them.
Really? We don't want to eat, man. I'm not hungry. I don't like your food. That make you afraid of me?
That is
what does he have to do with somebody that does not feel like eating? But the funny thing is, in the biblical account, they said they will eat. He fixed the food, and they ate. And there was no fear. Abraham never feared the angels, the messengers, the Lord Yahweh, and the two other angels. He showed me one in the Bible. He was afraid of them. But look what happened. He's afraid of them. And immediately, what happened after that?
They said, do not fear. And they gave him the good news of a young, knowledgeable boy.
Boy, oh boy. From a moment of fear, don't be afraid. You're going to have a knowledgeable boy. left at 29. Read it for me.
So his woman, wife, came in shouting, and she struck her face and said, "Oh, the Baron."
Can you imagine it was me? The same story is repeated in the Quran. Remember before she laughed, and after she laughed, they told her she's going to have a baby. So she laughed before she hears the joke, okay? Now, she did not laugh. She actually struck her own face, Christy Johnson. She slapped her own face.
She was shouting.
Why Muhammad changed the story? I mean, what is the purpose of changing the story? In one place, she laughed. Another place, she's crying and slapping her face. What is wrong with the story? What is wrong with Muhammad? What is wrong with that stupid Quran? Talking about the same Sarah? Are we talking about the same Abraham? Are we talking about the same God?
I don't think so. I think when you make something up, you forget what you made up.
Go to verse. Exactly. You got it right, Chris. Yeah. See, Muhammad was making up the story, and he wrote it 10 times in the Quran in 23 years. Of course he cannot remember what he said 5 years ago. Can you remember what he said to me last year, Christy, about anything? Will you remember word for word what you've shared with me? About?
No, not unless I wrote it down.
We know each other for more than 15 years now. I know you, Christy, I know you for at least 17, 18 years. Do you remember some of the stuff I shared with you? Do you think if I repeat the same story, even if it's true, I'm not saying I made it up. I'm not saying I'm lying like Muhammad does. If I'm telling a true story, and I waited 5 years and I tell the same story, and I waited another 5 years, and every 5 years I'm going to repeat the same story, do you think I'm going to say it the same way? Of course, I'm not going to remember. But we're talking about the word of Allah. We're talking about the Quran. We're talking about the revelation of Allah. We're talking about something was written in heaven before it ever happened on earth.
But Usama, also, if you told me something once, and then you go, "Oh yeah, Christy, remember when this happened?" You're not going to say it like the opposite. You say, "Oh yeah, remember when I told you that I met Vicky in Germany?" Later, you're going to go, "Oh yeah, I did. Remember when I told you I met Vicky in France? Oh, remember when I told you I met Vicky in Ireland?"
And you know what? When I saw her, she was so happy and she was laughing. And oh, you know what? When I saw her, she slapped her face.
Was shouting.
And
no,
shouting,
it's not going to change like that.
Like we do in the Middle East. Anyway, keep going to the next verse.
They said, "Likewise, your Lord said, surely he is the wise, the knowing."
Did the angels said that before? First of all, the one who spoke to Abraham about the birth of the baby, it is the Lord himself. These here are angels speaking on the behalf of Allah. But in the Bible, in Genesis account, it is Yahweh, the Lord, chapter 18 in Genesis, is the one who spoke to Abraham. Sarah will have a baby. She laughed. She denied she laughed because she was afraid. Who was afraid, Abraham or Sarah? It was Sarah. Why Allah in the Quran make it Abraham is the one who's afraid?
Because he doesn't know what he's talking about. It's crazy.
Allah is drunk. Allah forgot what he mentioned earlier, and he does not remember. Now, let's go on to the next portion, which is more fun. Verse 31.
He said, "What is your news, O the messengers?"
Okay. It is, once again, according to the biblical account, it was God talking to Abraham. Not Abraham asking God, that God answered Abraham, "No. Will I hide from my servant, from my beloved Abraham, what I'm about to do? He's going to be a great nation. Abraham, I want to share something with you." What? Well, there's a report about Sodom and Gomorrah that they're evil, and their cry came out to me, and I'm going to check it out, and I'm going to destroy it. Here in the Quran, it is Abraham is the one who starts the conversation about, "Oh, so what are you guys going to? Oh, who are you going to? Are you going to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it? You might as well go ahead and tell the whole story." As Abraham knows what is coming up. Is God informing Abraham, not Abraham asking Allah about what's going to happen. 32.
They said, surely we have been sent to a criminal people.
Why? Next verse.
To send on them stones of mud.
Really?
Marked by your Lord for the extravagant.
So, here we go. How did Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed? Stone made out of mud or firestorm?
Fire and brimstone. Yeah.
Fire and brimstone. Not stone made out of mud, Christy. And they were marked.
No.
What I love it when the Muslim scholar give you interpretation that each one of these rocks have the name of the person which is going to hit him on top of his head. And when the rock hit him in his head, which made out of mud, it kills him immediately. Wow, Christy Johnson. So not only Muhammad contradicts himself throughout the Quran by repeating the story with different information, they are fabricating interpretation of these verses to make it, it's the whole thing is stupid. The whole thing is wrong. Sodom and Gomorrah were burned with fabric. What do you call it?
Fire.
Not
fire
rocks made out of clay.
Yeah.
Not rocks made out of tin. But listen to the next verse, which is amazing. So
we brought forth out of it who was among the believers.
Is this conversation before or after what happened?
Well, I think it is
bad sense.
I don't know.
Notice, I'm talking about the tense, Christy. Okay.
It looks like
verse 32.
Yeah.
What is the tense in verse 32?
They said, surely we've been sent to criminal people to send on them. What they're going to do. The future.
Okay. Why in 35, they already kicked the believers out of
it.
They removed the believers out of it. And who are these believers?
Well, we don't know. But
according to that verse, Christy, according to that verse, bunch of believers.
Yeah.
Bunch of believers. Every believer came out of it. But in reality, there are four people. And one of them were not the good believer. Turned to a pillar of salt.
Right.
Lot's wife. Okay. Now, read to verse 36.
So we did not find in it except one house of Muslims.
Oh, come on now. I thought they're a bunch of believers.
That's
verse 35 is plural. Lots of believers came out of it. Every believer. But now there's only one house of Muslims. So Prophet Lot and Mrs. Lot and their family were Muslims. Last verse, Chris. Last verse.
And we left in it a sign to those who fear the painful torment.
What is that sign? Can you tell me anything about this sign?
I do not know.
There's no sign, Christy. That is the beauty of the clear Quran. Easy to understand. Pure Arabic. When you read in Arabic, you can't help but to laugh. I mean, literally, from a present tense to future tense to present tense to past tense in the same story. It's like Muhammad wrote these verses in different time in his life, and he cannot remember what he said earlier.
Yeah, it really seems like that.
All right, chapter 53, Christy. Chapter 53, beginning from verse 37.
There's nothing. I'm sorry. I'm sitting in a room full of toys and wall to wall.
As long as you don't fall. Whatever you do, do not fall.
I'm sitting on the floor. I can't really fall anywhere. Okay.
Once chapter again, 53. Ladies and gentlemen, reading about Abraham in the Quran to learn nothing about Abraham from the Quran. I'm not kidding. We're learning nothing. Except the Quran is a book of contradictions. And the funny and the sad thing, the Muslims who read the Bible try to critique every sentence, try to critique every word, didn't even bother to have a simple understanding to their own book. Have the Muslims critique the Quran as they critique our Bible, there will not be a Muslim in the world today. They will be left in Islam.
What verse am I in? 53, what verse?
37. Quran chapter 53, beginning from verse 37.
Okay. Oh, there it is. I was wondering where Abraham was. And Abraham who fulfilled.
Fulfill what?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm just trying to understand. How can Muslims believe that the Quran is a book, a revelation of Allah to Muhammad about Abraham, when we know nothing about Abraham? So far, we read 300 pages, and we have known, I mean, literally all the verses of the Quran about Abraham, and so far we have no clue what Abraham did, where did he did it, when did he did it? How did he do it? I mean, who was him? Who is not? I mean, literally, it's just, وَإِبْرَهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَّى أَلَا تَزْرُ وَازِرَةٌ وَزْرَ أُخْرَى إِنَّ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَإِنَّ السَّعْيَ سَوْفَ يُرَى ثُمَّ يَجْزَاهُ الْجُزْءَ الْأَوْفَى وَيَسْأَلُ رَبُّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى. I mean, it's just literally poetry, Chrissy. Read verse 38. Okay. Let me prove to you. Read 38.
And no bearer of a burden bears the burden of another.
What does have to do with Abraham?
I have no clue.
Okay. Muslims use that verse day and night to prove that Jesus could not die on the cross for the sin of the world because every man pay for his or every woman pay for her own sin. You understand that? I could not help my father. I could not help my son. You got it? You sin, you pay for your sin. Nobody die for anybody else. Now, why did Allah provide another Jesus to die on the cross for Jesus?
Oh, the one that made look like Jesus.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, if no soul would carry the sin or the burden of another soul, why did that man die for Jesus?
Yeah, that kind of takes their argument and takes it apart. Right.
Keep
there.
Going. Read the next 4 or 5 verses. Don't stop. Just read through.
Okay. And the human will have nothing except what he strives for, and that his striving will be seen. Then he will reward him to the fullest reward, and surely to your Lord the ultimate end. And he...
What do we learn about Abraham from these verses?
No.
So in reality, verse 57 have nothing to do with anything else written about these verses. That's how we know for sure the Quran is written out of context. It is a comedy.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. 43 or 44, 45. Let's read 43, 44.
And that he is who makes laugh. Wait a minute. Sorry. To him the fullest reward. And surely to your Lord. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I messed that up. And
43.
He. Yes. But yeah, I'm sorry. My screen went a little cuckoo for a minute. And he that is who makes laugh and makes weep. And he is who puts...
Allah make people laugh and Allah make people weep. And, go ahead, 44.
And that he is who puts to death and gives life.
So what does have to do with Abraham with the previous verses? And I thought Allah is the one who speaks in the Quran. Why he did not say, I make people laugh and I make people cry. I give life and I cause death. No, the funny one is next one. No, look at 45.
And that he created the pairs, male and the female.
Really? Allah created the pairs, male and female? Keep going, 46.
From Natfa when emitted.
Oh, wait a minute. You're not talking about Adam and Eve. You're talking about the babies of Adam and Eve. And where they came from? From Natfa. What is Natfa? That is the water. What water? The white and yellow. The white from the backbone of the man and the yellow from the female. And the white is thick and the yellow is soft. And from the white we get the muscles and the bones, and from the yellow we get the blood and the flesh. How do you like the science and the great miracle of the Quran concerning how Allah created pairs, the male and the female? I'm sorry, there is no creation for babies. And if you read Yusuf Ali translation, he will not translate like that, Christy. He says, and he made, not create, he made. Why? Because Yusuf Ali is smarter than Allah, smarter than Muhammad, and you know how to translate the Quran from Arabic to English, right? Because when you create, you bring something to existence out of nothing. If you have a sperm and you have an egg, that's not create, that's make. You made a baby from a mama and a papa, from an egg and from sperm. You don't create a baby. When you create, you bring something to existence out of nothing.
Sorry.
But anyway, the rest of the Quran verses here have nothing to do with Abraham. As the previous verse have nothing to do with Abraham. All what we got out of that chapter, Christy, chapter 53, it is verse 37. Read to me one more time, chapter 53 and verse 67, and tell me, what did you learn about Abraham?
And Abraham who fulfilled, and there's a question mark, so it's a question. And Abraham
so
who
what?
Fulfilled?
Can
no,
you
tell
no. anything about Abraham from that unique
no.
miracle verse?
I have no clue what it is talking about. No.
Exactly. Now, chapter 57 and verse 26, Christy. Chapter 57 and verse 26. There is another verse in the Quran to learn about Abraham.
Okay. 56.
57 and verse 26.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Verse 57.
Chapter 57
26. Yeah, I got it. And indeed, we sent Noah and Abraham, and we assigned the prophethood and the book among their descendants. So some of them are guided, but most of them are transgressors.
What a beautiful Quran. I really want to see the Shahada right now, Christy. I cannot wait to become a Muslim after reading the words of Allah in the Quran. So Allah sent Noah. And Allah sent Abraham. No, Allah sent, God sent Noah, and God took Abraham from his family.
Yeah.
Abraham was not sent to anybody. And we made the, read the rest of the first, I'm sorry, I don't have the Arabic here. I want to say exactly what it said there.
Okay. We assigned them the prophethood and the book among their descendants. So some of them are guided.
Wait a minute. Are these two people have two different descendants? Is Noah and Abraham have two separate descendants?
Not that I understand.
I mean,
yep.
We have a two sets
of
prophets come out of Noah and come out of Abraham, two separate people.
No.
I don't think Muhammad understood who is Abraham, who is Noah.
It sounds like he doesn't know.
And what I love it, some of them were guided, but a lot of them were transgressors.
Yes, most of them are transgressors.
Or most of them, okay.
Most.
Don't you love them?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Let's go to chapter 60. I want to close this study tonight, and I don't want to get into Abraham again because I'm getting sick and tired of it.
All right, so
verse
60.
A long, beautiful verse.
60 and verse what?
4, beginning from verse 4.
Okay. Oops. Verse 4. Indeed, there was a good example for you in Abraham and in those who were with him when they
Who are those who were with him? Why Muhammad does not give us any name? Info, people, info, information. And one of them tells the others, I know, what is the name of the one and who are the others?
So here,
yeah, he pretty much is vague. Okay. And in those who were with him, when they said to their people, surely we are innocent from you and of what you serve without Allah. We became infidels in you, and the enmity and the enduring hatred between us and you will appear forever until you believe in Allah alone. Except for the speech of Abraham to his father, I will ask forgiveness for you, and I do not have control of anything to you from Allah. Our Lord, on you we depend, and to you we turn, and to you is the final return.
Okay. So now Abraham did not go to speak to his people alone, but he had a bunch of people with him. Are you following me, Christy?
Yeah. Who are
Throughout the Quran, it was Abraham speaking to his father, Abraham
yeah.
speaking to his father and his people, Abraham is speaking to his people and his father, but here, Abraham is not alone.
Yeah.
Because Abraham now have lots of believers with him who went and spoke to his family, his people. And the story changed once again.
Our Lord, do not make us a sedition to those who became infidels, and forgive us. Our Lord, surely you are the dear wise.
Who is speaking here?
I don't know, but
you can
is
guess.
That,
you can guess. Your guess is good.
I guess that is Abraham.
And his people. Remember now, he's not alone.
Us. That's
he
right.
He has a bunch of believers with him now.
Forgive us. Yeah.
Verse 6.
Indeed, there was a good example in them for you, for who was hoping in Allah and in the last day. And whoever turns away, so surely Allah is the rich, the praised.
Who's speaking here? Allah is the speaker.
Allah.
The word of Allah.
Yeah.
The Quran, the Quran is the word of Allah. Okay, so Allah
yeah.
is speaking here, and I don't think if Allah is in full of his senses, or maybe he's drunk, or maybe he could not. I mean, Allah is speaking like somebody else.
Yes, because he refers to himself. That's why I go,
yeah.
Is that Allah? Surely Allah.
Exactly. How about verse 7?
Perhaps Allah will make friendship between you
perhaps?
And those who...
Allah, whoa. Allah is telling me, perhaps Allah?
He's the God of perhaps.
Allah is the God of perhaps, exactly.
Perhaps Allah will make friendship between you and those who you take to be your enemies among them. And Allah is mighty, and Allah is forgiving and merciful.
Perhaps Allah and Muhammad need some help. Perhaps Allah and Muhammad need some help. Keep going, 8 and 9.
Allah does not forbid you to show kindness and to deal justly with those who did not engage in war against you in the religion and who did not drive you forth from your homes.
Okay. Allah is speaking to the Muslims. What does it have to do with Abraham and the previous verses and the following verses? Nothing.
Yeah. It is. Him talking to the Muslims. You can see that. Surely, yes.
Go ahead. Last verse, 9.
Surely Allah loves those who deal in justice. I would say social justice, which is what we hear all the time.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Keep reading the verse, Chris.
Oh, well, verse 9?
Yeah.
Surely Allah only forbids you to become friends with those who have engaged in war against you in the religion and have driven you out from your homes and helped to drive you out and who became friends with them. So those are the unjust.
Okay. So obviously 8 and 9 is talking to Muslims. Allah speaking to Muslims. The previous two verses, Allah speaks to himself. He does not know what he's talking about. And we have nothing learned. We learn nothing about the Abraham. The last chapter, chapter 87, we read about Abraham there. Chapter 87, Christy, verses 18 and 19. 18 and 19.
All right. Oh, okay, here we go. Surely this is the first pages of writings, the pages of writings of Abraham and Moses.
Oh, so now we know that the Quran is written in the books of Abraham and the books of Moses, okay? Scripture of Abraham, scripture of Moses. The manuscript of Abraham and the manuscript of Moses. I'm sorry. Nothing is written in the book of Abraham. You know why, Christy?
There's not a book of Abraham.
Exactly. The book of Abraham, it's in Muhammad's head. It's in Muslims' head. Not only because the Bible did not say anything about the book of Abraham, because there's no evidence whatsoever that Abraham even wrote a letter. Abraham did not write a page. What we learn about Abraham is what Moses wrote in Genesis account.
Right.
And what we study about Abraham in the entire Quran in the last few weeks, it is nothing but a comedy. It is nothing but a fairy tale. It is nothing but a dumb fool counterfeit. As I said before, can make a foolish counterfeit by simply make the dollar square paper, okay, square, and change the color to purple or some orange color, okay, and then put your grandma or your grandpa picture in the middle of it. Then the whole world will look at your dollar and laugh at you because obvious from the looks and the color and the size and the shape and the writing and the picture, it is a foolish counterfeit. And that is exactly what we learn from the Quran about Abraham or about Moses or about David or about Adam or about Noah or about anybody. Just pick up a name, Christy. What we have done with Abraham, we can physically, literally, can do with every other name in the Quran, and they're all nothing but a comedy. The best of the Quran chapter 12,
yeah,
the story of Joseph, it is full of error and missing information. That's the best of the Quran. So I do not know why Muslims believe that the Quran is a revelation from God. What is the evidence? What is the proof? What is the, I mean, where is their info to tell me that Abraham's account is true? Or any other story in the Quran is true. They're nothing but a comedy. I'm finished, Christy, with Abraham. Go ahead, share whatever you want to put in mind. You have a whole 3 minutes to speak your heart.
3 minutes? Wow.
I'm a nice guy. Go ahead.
Well, there's some things maybe I can share. Tonight I could not get the chat room to open correctly. I do apologize for that. We had problems with it from the beginning, but you know, sometimes they're updating the software for Blog Talk Radio, and I run into these problems occasionally. Hopefully next week we'll be fine. I also want to mention to people who do follow me on Facebook, and I have many people who want to be my friends. The problem is that many times I have no idea who these individuals are, so I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. But I am not looking for personal friends on Facebook. These are people who want to follow and are interested in the ministry, because that's the only reason I have a Facebook. So for all of you who, you know, asked me to be a friend, if I didn't accept your friendship, I'm so sorry. I'm trying to keep from this becoming a social thing for me on Facebook. So that's what I want to share with you. People, I've been wanting to tell them that for a long time. Oops. Anyway, Usama, I have... you're still there. It looked like I lost you. But we have just a minute or so more, and I just will share anything that you want. Be praying for the Muslim people, because they really have nothing to base their faith and confidence in. even when they try to say every man's going to pay for his own sin, that means we all going to go to hell who are paying for their own sin. That's the penalty for sin, unless we receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. That's what we want to share with Muslim people.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Christy. I appreciate you for being with me here tonight, producing this show. And well, I apologize to all of you who were expecting Brother Sam Shamon to be with us. I have not heard back from him yet. I hope and I pray that he's okay. Keep his son, his daughter in your prayer. Keep my son in your prayer for to see you next Saturday. And perhaps if everything go well with him, with traveling to come to me from Arizona, we'll have a great show next week for a whole couple hours. Sam will be sharing with us whatever the Lord put in his heart. Most likely it's going to be apologetics about Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, or whatever questions you guys have. If you have any questions between here and next Saturday, please write to us, and we'll do our best to answer all your questions, or just come on the show, come to the phone, and ask the question. Happy to have all of you. Thanks, Christy, again. God bless you. You guys have a wonderful time of worship tomorrow. And remember this country in your prayer. And hopefully between here and next week, we'll have some good news, something to share about America. God bless you all. Yeah. You have a wonderful good night. Thanks again for having us in this 2 hours. Look forward to see you next Saturday. And you have a wonderful good night.
Thank you, Swama. God bless you, everyone. And we'll have a chat room next week, hopefully. Thank you. Good night.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.